The epistle for the fourth Sunday in Advent is taken from St. Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. Brethren, let a man so account us as servants of God and stewards of the mysteries of God. Now here is it required in stewards that a man be found trustworthy. But with me it is a very small matter to be judged by you or by man's tribunal. Nay, I do not even judge my own self. For I have nothing on my conscience, yet I am not thereby justified. But he who judges me is the Lord. Therefore, pass no judgment before the time, until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the things hidden in darkness, and make manifest the counsels of hearts. And then everyone will have his praise from God. And the gospel is taken from that of Saint Luke. Now in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was procurator of Judea and Herod tetrarch of Galilee, and Philip, his brother, tetrarch of the district of Ituria in Trachonitis, and Lysanias, tetrarch of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of the Lord came to John, the son of Zachary, in the desert. And he went into all the region about the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, the voice of one crying in the desert, make ready the way of the Lord, make straight his path. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked ways shall be made straight, and the rough ways smooth. And all mankind shall see the salvation of God. Those are the words of today's gospel. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. This phrase of the prophet Isaiah reminds us of a very important truth concerning virtue. The valleys shall be filled, and the mountains and hills brought low. The truth is that virtue is a mean. Virtue lies in the middle, going neither too far or not far enough. St. Gregory of Nyssa explains these words, that the mountains and hills shall be brought low and the valleys shall be raised, saying that Isaiah orders the valleys to be filled and the mountains and the hills to be cast down to show that the rule of virtue neither fails from want of good nor transgresses from excess. So this is one of the meanings we can take from these words in today's gospel. The mountains represent the sins of excess and the valleys represent the sins of defect. Two paths of action which go in completely opposite directions, but both of which end in the same thing, which is sin. An example of sinning in excess would be a father who has a family with young children who depend upon him, who goes and sees a beggar, and he gives him everything that he has. Right? He gives up everything, and he doesn't have anything left to take care of his own family with. This is a sin in excess. But then we could see a sin of defect in that same person, that same father, just completely turning his back on this beggar, even though he could help him in a reasonable way. In this case, evil consists in that which is either exceeding the measure of reason or fails and falls short of it. The virtuous act lies somewhere in between. Not in giving all, but certainly not in refusing all, absolutely either. We must strike a balance between the two, between excess and defect. Now, in considering that virtue lies in the middle, we must ask, in the middle of what? The ethical mean, the ethical mid-road, is not the same as a mathematical mean. The middle road is not always going to be the road which is most often traveled. I can't just look at a poll and see that 10% believe one thing, 10% believe another thing, which is the complete opposite of that, and say, okay, the virtue is somewhere in the opinion of the middle then. If 10% of the people held that abortion should be legal at all times and in all cases, And then 10% held that it should never be legal. We certainly know that we can't be somewhere in the middle there. And what popular opinion would consider an extreme, our reason tells us, is actually the good mean which we are searching for. So the mean actually is in that 10%, which is completely opposed to abortion. So what does virtue lie in the middle of? It lies in the middle of our reason. The mean of virtue is always the rational mean, because it is our reason which determines what the mean of virtue is to be. We have to use our intellects. It'd be impossible to be taught what was the golden mean that we should follow in every single circumstance which should come up in the world. There is an infinite amount of circumstances which could come up in our lives. And so we can't know in each circumstance that this is how I should react. We have to use our reason to understand what we ought to do. It would be an extreme act for a man, let's say, to jump out of a second floor window because there was a fire burning in his fireplace. It would not be extreme at all for the same man to jump out of the same window because his entire house was in flames. It's been said that to be virtuous is to be versatile. And this example is a good way for us to see how this works. The circumstances must always be considered, but from the vantage point of reason. It would be unreasonable for a man to jump out of a window because he had a Yule log quietly burning in his fireplace. But it would also be unreasonable for a man not to jump out of the window if this was the only way he could save himself from a burning fire. So, why is this prophecy of Isaiah recalled today, telling the valleys to be filled and the mountains to be brought low? It is a command to be virtuous. It is an entreaty to us not to fall into defect, not to rise into excess, but to choose the mean, which our reason points out to us. This golden mean will often not correspond to popular opinion. We know, for instance, that an act of defending the life of an unborn is not at this time a popular one. Nevertheless, it is the virtuous act. And on account of this, we must defend the unborn. And St. Paul encourages us in this battle, in today's epistle, by reminding us of who our judge truly is. He says that for himself, it is a very small thing to be judged by man. He that judges me is the Lord. It is the judgment of our Lord which we should be concerned about, and not that of our neighbor. There's one more thing that we should consider regarding virtue, that golden mean when ordered towards God, when ordered towards the three theological virtues of faith, of hope, and of charity. In all other virtues, we must be careful not to act in excess. But these theological virtues are ordered towards an absolute. We are incapable of loving God as he ought to be loved, or of believing in him or hoping in him as we ought to. There is never a question of excess here. So a theological virtue does not consist in finding a golden mean between excess and defect, because it is impossible to have too much faith. It is impossible to have too much hope. It is impossible to love God too much. No one can love him as he deserves to be loved. And as we make our final preparations for the remembrance of Christ's coming on Christmas Day, let us continue to hope in him, to have that confident expectation that God will give us the means of attaining our salvation. And let us remember that Christ who will come down and rest upon the altar in only a few moments, is always more than could ever be hoped for. God bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.